works at the University of Puget Sound. He's a maintenance planning engineer. He's been an engineer for 28 years. He was ordained in 1992. He's been a pastor for 14 years. He's been very involved in the prayer movement, prayer groups local and regional level for 25 years. Most recently, in the Northwest, he's Pierce County's coordinator for the World Day of Prayer and Pierce County Intercessors. He's a vital part of that group. And he's a part of the Apostolic Global Prayer Network, which is an international group. Jay has prayed and prayed and prayed. I've witnessed it since he was just in college. When I first met him, he was just a college boy. In fact, he used to come by our house, and he knew just when I was preparing dinner. And he would have full attention. I wouldn't be running around the house, and Jay would come and talk to me the whole time I was preparing dinner. Well, interestingly enough, can you believe how many times he was invited for dinner? Many, many, many. And he sat at the table with that one daughter of ours and with all three of our daughters. And in fact, when Carrie Ann, who preached last month for us, when she was a junior in high school, I think, wasn't it, Jay? Was she only a junior? I think she was a junior. She was a junior. She and Jay led a really great Bible study and catechism class they taught at the University of Idaho together. So we really kind of thought he might end up with our daughter Carrie, but he chose the older one and the beautiful, beautiful one. They're all pretty girls, but he chose Tammy, and it was kind of a surprise to with both of you, really, but God had his hand on Jay. They now attend Harbor Christian Center in Gig Harbor, and he's presently on part-time staff as the Director of Small Group Ministries, pastor and director of small group ministries at that church. So we're delighted to have he and Tammy and Brian and Jenny with us today. Tammy, will you stand up? Tammy was Daddy's executive secretary for forever at Living Faith Fellowship, and now is working for a RE/MAX office in Gig Harbor in Tacoma, I guess. And Brian, go ahead, stand up, hon. Brian is a junior at Gig Harbor High School and on the JV basketball team, right? Yeah. Just finished your what was it? Tournament, summer league? Neat. And you did very well. Amen. And Jenny, if you'll stand, Jenny is just graduated with her bachelor's in biology at Washington State University, and she's a pharmacy student and is working in Tacoma now and goes back for her internships in Spokane. We'll be living in Spokane for 2 years. So without ado, let me introduce Jay and have him come up and Jay lead us. He is a great son-in-law. I am one blessed lady and Papa's one blessed Papa to have such a great son-in-law, always praying for us and has for years and years.
Thank you.
Faithful, great guy.
All right, well,
JB.
Yes.
Oh, and I call him JB. I named him that a long time ago. JAYBEE.
Yeah, it's not anymore.
It's not anymore.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Royal, for leading in worship. Thank you, Roxanne, for helping all the technical details. I handed out a little note there. I gave you a couple things. I went ahead and gave you just a one-page sheet that had most all the scripture references I referred to. So if you want to take notes, and I won't always read every one of them. And there's also a bunch of websites. I listed another page. I'll talk about those in just a little bit, but it's good to be with you this morning. God bless you all. I love to just, well, I like to talk about prayer, but I like to pray. I like to be involved in prayer, and you'll see as I share some, there's just so much that God does in us and through us as we allow Him to. What I like to do is, if I can, to motivate you, inspire you, encourage you in any way, and you know, no excuses. We all have an opportunity. This is something that we all are called to do. I don't think you can find it in the scriptures that just a few are to pray. Or just this is our church intercessor. You will find issue with me on that point. We all are called to pray, and we can do a lot more with our prayers than we all realize. We really do. So what I like to do is I am one of these guys that just loves the Word of God, and I want to lay just a quick little foundation, and then I really want to just share practically from my heart. I don't always do this. I do this in some small groups and other things. I work with people. So I'm just going to be candid and share, and we'll get down home with you guys just about thoughts I have, things that I go through, some things about what prayer is and isn't, and hopefully this will be very helpful for all of us today. Because if we can together touch the heart of God, then we've pleased Him and we've encouraged one another. So Lord, we thank You for this time. We look to You to inspire us, give Your words today, and keep us alert to hear and to then apply what You've given us today. Start with the basics. One of the things, and this isn't on the notes, and you'll find this, I just love the word, but in 2 Peter, in the end of the first chapter, there's a section 16 through 21 where Peter is giving an account of what it was like being on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now that would be really something, wouldn't it? I'll say it would be really cool, and then I'll date myself, and because that's a sort of a dead word today in the young generation. But they're standing on the Word, and they're talking about the voice of God that's come forth from the heaven. He talks about the prophetic Word, and it's coming forth today and in the end times. It's coming forth as that light, that day star that's dawning in our heart. You know, Proverbs talks about the path of the just as a shining light, which grows more and more as each day comes. But he says something that I think is very, very good for all of us to remember. It's in verse 21, saying that no prophecy came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What he's referring to is the writers of the 66 books of us people that wrote the Word of God were inspired of the Holy Spirit. And what's exciting about the prophetic, what's exciting about the Holy Spirit is we can read this word with the same inspiration that they wrote it in. And that's why I like the word and what we can gain from the word, because we fellowship with the Lord, we fellowship with the writers of the Bible, because it's the Holy Spirit that is the author and the inspirer for all of us. But let's talk a little bit about prayer and intercession. Prayer is something that God wonders about. When we hear about intercession in Isaiah 59, God said He wondered. The one thing that God wondered, He wondered why there was no intercessor. That's something God is calling us and saying, He's wondering, why are there no intercessors? Prayer is something that's easy to talk about, easy to have good intentions about. Oh, did I say I would probably meddle some today? And if this is personal, then please take issue with the Lord and His Word. Now, you can talk to me afterwards, too. I'm a nice guy. But I believe strongly that we need to take seriously and apply in our hearts the Word. It's not just for someone else. It's not just for some other time. But it's for today. And it's alive in our lives if we will let it be. So God wondered why there was no intercessor. Let's not have Him wondering here in this place. God calls us to intercede. We read in Isaiah 64:7, He says, He again was saying, hey, there's no one here that stirs himself up, or there's no one here that calls upon Your name that stirs himself up to take a hold of You. Sometimes in intercession, we need to be active and make a choice to stir ourselves up, because it's not always easy. In the morning if you're tired, in the late night if you're tired, or if you want to have something else to go on, or it's sometimes the promptings of the Holy Spirit are easy to just say, oh, I'll get to it later. I mean, let's be real. I mean, I do it too. You know? So I would love to say that I, you know, follow everything God says, but I would be lying to you. But I'll tell you, I try to follow more of what God's saying to me and take it more seriously than I used to. But it's you know, sometimes we have to just say no to distractions, know these things, and do it now. And I'll tell you, it will make a difference. But God wants our prayers. God wants our prayers. Does God need our prayers? Well, no, but I'll tell you something. This tells you a little bit about my theology, and that's what's nice is that, you know, the pastors here will sort out everything and after I leave. But God uses his church. There is no plan B. We are not perfect. We are made of flesh, and we make mistakes, and we fail. And we fall down, we have to get up, dust ourselves off. You know, we know all about repentance and going on and getting right. But there's not a plan B. So God doesn't have any other means that he has chosen at this point to move in the earth. Now, he still will move sovereignly. There's still things that are just cool that God will do. You know, and we witness him in creation. But we are the chosen instrument of God. His church people today are who he is living in, moving in. See, we are the church, folks. We don't come to it's a church building, but you know, we don't go to church. We are the church. That's why we don't have to go to church and say, oh, Lord, come and be here, because he comes with us. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't dwell in the tabernacle in the wilderness anymore, but he dwells in the hearts of men and women. Those that have given, you know, him, you know, saying, hey, come, this is yours, I'm yours, and we yield ourselves to him, and he comes in, and we become then part of the tabernacle of God, the church. But Jesus teaches, he says, when you pray, not if you pray. Matthew 6, verse 5, and then Matthew 6, 5 through 7, he teaches a little bit about the wrong kind of prayer. And Matthew then 8 through 13, the next verses, he teaches about the right kind of prayer. Many people call this the Lord's Prayer, and it's really not the Lord's Prayer, but it's the Lord's instruction. It's more the model prayer that we need to follow. But what he says is, don't pray this way. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, whoever they are, of course. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. So he gives us some wise counsel here. He says, pray in the secret place. Now, that doesn't mean we can't pray at other places, but the context here is God will hear in secret and reward openly. So like when we fast, we don't have to say, you know, show everybody and demonstrate we're fasting and, you know, oh, gosh, I'm just travailing and I'm suffering for Jesus. That, you know, we can just keep, wash our face, you know, put on our game face and just go to work, do what we need to do and attend to our spiritual disciplines. And nobody else needs to know. It's part of a walk of faith that we get to be with him. But he talks about, now, after saying how not to pray, he tells us how to pray. He says, don't be like them. For your Father knows the things that you need before you ask them. But yet he still wants us to ask. He, in this matter, pray. He says, our Father, hallowed be your name. Where's the focus? It's on the Lord and on his name. Your kingdom come. Oh, yeah, your kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or we could extrapolate a little bit. It says, and not only on earth, but in this earth. Okay? It's like in me, in you. Give us this day our daily bread, and our provisions. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a conditional there, isn't that? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Again, now seeing that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's all about him. Talk a little bit now about the example of Jesus. I love looking at the lives of the people in the Bible. David's a favorite one of mine in the Old Testament, but Jesus is, I would say, a pretty good example for us to follow and look at what he's done. And so, but Jesus lived a life of prayer. talks about in the scriptures, he got up early, a lot. He departed to a solitary place. Sometimes he stayed up late, and at other times he even stayed all night in prayer. You look at when there were some tough decisions and some important things he had to do, like choosing the 12 disciples, that type of thing. You'll find that he had stayed up all night in prayer before that. Just, you know, the same Jesus who was the Son of God that learned obedience through the things he suffered, that, you know, had no sin when he walked on the earth, but yet in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's still struggling and saying, you know, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. He still had to make a choice. And, you know, if he struggled, it's okay for us to realize that we struggle too. It's not always easy, you know, but he leads the way. He says he knows all the temptations. Hebrews tells us that he has been through everything we've been through, all the temptation, but yet without sin. So he is able to succor us, it says in the King James, or he's able to help us, guide us, comfort us, lead us along the way, because he says, you know, I've been there. And he really has been. You know, he's the firstborn of many brethren. And that's us, you know, that we follow him. These scriptures here in Mark and Luke and John, they talk about how Jesus arose in the morning. He departed to a mountain to pray. He went to a deserted place. He departed to a mountain and prayed by himself. These are how Jesus lived his life. You know, he wanted to be with the Father. And this is what's really exciting. I like this. He did nothing of his own initiative. I mean, he's God. He's perfect. And he did nothing of his own initiative. He only did what he saw the Father doing. To me, that pretty much demonstrates he's living a life of prayer. We read there in John 5:30, he says, I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. So he's saying he's living the way he taught us to pray. He's saying, our Father, your kingdom, your will. And that's what he's saying. He says, that's how I live. I'm not trying to do my own thing. And that's what's exciting about prayer is, I mean, God's right there with us. It's not like it's a hard thing to do. I think religiously we make prayer hard. And you're going to see that, because I'm just going to get down and we're going to talk as folks here. I guess I already am. Here's something that is demonstrated in Jesus' life. And you see I wrote that out in the note. As he was born as a man, he was trained for 30 years. I mean, he went through this homeschooling. He went through an internship program with his father. He worked in business, and I'm sure back then when you worked on wood, you didn't have all the nice power tools that Royal had when you made something like this. Man, you had to. I mean, there was blisters and sore muscles and sweat and all that, and that's what he trained in. You know, when you probably hit your finger with a nail, you start finding out what you're made of sometimes. But anyway, so 30 years of training. 3.5 years of active ministry, and now some 2,000 years in intercession. Wow. It's like, I think we see a little bit of what did he give the most time to? Hebrews 7:25 says he ever liveth to make intercession. It's not so much, and you look at that, and there's a book that Dutch Sheets wrote, Intercessory Prayer. Some of you have probably read it, but he does a really good study on this, and he talks about that Jesus is not our intercessor praying for us as much as he is making the way open as our mediator. He's saying, Lord, give attention to this. So give attention to as he, as she, is coming to you. Okay? And Jesus is making the way. And that's why he said, you know, in Hebrews, it tells, I think it's Hebrews 9, it says that we boldly enter in to the holy place by the shed blood. The way has been made open. And not only has the way been opened by the shed blood, but there's Jesus constantly saying, and here's Royal, here's Sherry, here's Tammy, hear their prayers, Lord. You know, these are the ones that I made access for. So that's pretty exciting when you think about that he's our personal guide. He's our personal mentor in prayer and making access to the Father. You know, we can do more through our prayers than anything else we do in our lives. We really can. You know, there's all sorts of quotes on prayer, and I didn't bring a bunch of them. You can find them on the internet, we can find them. But one of the ones that I really like is, you know, if we've never, you know, basically until we have prayed, we really can't do a whole lot. You know, we, But after we've prayed, then it opens it up. But if we stay in good intentions and we say about, I'm going to get to it someday. But what's so exciting about prayer is you can just do it. And that's what we'll talk about. What I want to take just a second, because I don't want to end on talking about the website. So I'm going to do an intermission here and just talk a little bit about these prayer websites. I don't know, are all you guys internet savvy and do this? And okay, there's, anyway, you always have to be careful because as much help there is on the internet, so there's as much confusion and different things and all that. So I do not endorse these as a primary diet. I endorse the Word of God and the teaching of your local church as your primary. These are given as just interest, and you can find anything and everything. There's several of them, but some of them are about praying for the government, some of them about praying for Israel, some of them are different people's prayer ministries. They're passing them around now, but you'll find a lot of them very interesting. Now, on some of them, especially the people who have their ministries, if you sign up for them, you got to put up with getting solicitations and stuff. And some of them, I get off their list because I got tired of getting solicitations. And so you got to take separate the wheat from the chaff. And there is all sorts of prayer. There's all sorts of prophecy all over the internet, all over the churches. When you do it, I recommend just don't be judging. Just what works for you, take for you. And which doesn't, it's going to be there for someone else because it's probably a word in season for them and not for you right now. It's just the same way that different things in the Bible will speak to different people at different times. So I've learned to be less critical, less judging about what goes on, although there's a lot of question marks I have about what goes on in some of the websites. But some of them are very useful, like the very first one I put there, the World Prayer Team. This is what Ted Haggard did when he set up the World Prayer Center. And you can actually go online, and they have prayer sessions you can do. They'll put up a local prayer request. I mean, you can put prayer requests in on this, and they'll, on one part of the screen, they'll have prayer requests that are just, for my Aunt Susie and Uncle Bob and whatever. And then they'll have praying for Beirut, praying for Israel, praying for a nation, praying for, so they'll do global, international, big picture things along with the little personal things. And you can put your prayer requests on it too. And you can also, so you can sit there and you can do this, and it can help prime the pump sometimes if you feel like it's hard to pray. And that's why I always recommend praying with someone else too. We pray alone, but sometimes having a prayer partner, it's like, diet and exercise, it's sometimes the things we know we need to do. I need to go out and exercise. I need to be on a diet, but it helps to do it with someone. Same way with prayer. So there's a lot of other things. See, we talked about the National Day of Prayer, the state of Washington, National Day of Prayer was interesting. In the state of Washington, one of the things we did this year, the National Day of Prayer was on May 4th. The World Day of Prayer was on June 4th. And so we sponsored 31 days of 24/7 prayer. We had like several hundreds of churches in the state of Washington that were joining, some of them taking only one day of 24/7 prayer, some more. But it was exciting to just see people start getting into with their communities, and not just one prayer, but seeing not just one church, but seeing many churches work together. And as a community, they were covering that community with 24/7 prayer for 31 days. And one of the hearts that's behind this guy, Tim Taylor, who is in charge of, he's a coordinator for the state of Washington, great guy, one of his hearts is, if we can do it for 31 days, we can just do it. And he's helping set up and encourage and help churches to set up houses of prayer. So some of the bigger churches or churches that have the ability to do it, they'll open up a 24/7 prayer room. And they have different people that will pray at different times. Now, some of the people will do, even a church like here, people do different 24/7 times, but they'll just say, hey, I'll take the shift from 3 to 4, and they'll just pray at home, and that's okay. You don't have to only do it one way. Praying in faith and praying with an expectancy for God to move, that's really what's going to connect us with the heart of God. Okay, well, let me talk about practical thoughts on prayer. A little bit about what prayer is and prayer is not. There's a lot of myths out there. There's a lot of wrong thinking. There's a lot of liturgical and, I'll just say, bad habits we have about prayer that don't always line up with the Word of God. And so a lot of the stuff right now, I'll give you scriptures along the way, but you'll just get some of my sharing and perspective. And, after the service, hey, talk to me. I'd be happy to talk to you. But there's different ways we pray. You'll find some people pray by lists. They have lists and lists and lists and lists of people, the people at work, the people that are their unsaved relatives. On Thursday, they pray for missionaries. On Friday, they pray for orphans. And it's just wonderful what different people can do for lists. And I keep prayer lists, and I have lists. I have people that I pray for. I will always encourage people in the church to pray for your pastors. Be a prayer shield for your pastors and daily lift them up. And I don't care if it's just as simple as, Lord, I don't know what to pray for Pastor Kevin today, but I pray you keep him. I'm thinking of him, Lord. Just let your hand be upon him today. And even now, we pray for Pastor Kevin in New York, and we say, gird him up, strengthen him, let him know your spirit and your refreshing, Lord God. Even as it's been hot, Lord, let him know the refreshing that comes. Lord, we think of the proverb that says, he that waters is also watered. So even now, in Jesus' name, we agree that you're going to bring a watering and a refreshing to him now, in Jesus' name. I didn't intend to do that, but that's a good example of just sometimes we can stop and do something. And I have full confidence that we join together in Jesus' name with a heart for Pastor Kevin, that he can come back and say, hey, I was really blessed. it's true. That's how easy it can be. So with lists, it's wonderful. People can be disciplined, methodical, faithful, regular, and it's good perhaps to have something to pray for. I mean, if you have a spouse, if you have children, like I said, this crowd, grandchildren, I encourage you, whether it's a post-it note that you have on your computer or you have on your mirror in your bathroom or little pictures and something on the refrigerator, some kind of reminder so that those that you love and that God has placed in you as a person of influence in their lives, to add to that influence by praying for them. Okay, people, okay, some use lists, some pray for people. There's people who you are close to, that we have close relationship with. And some people, they'll tell you, it's really hard to pray on a list. They'll say, I just can't do it. That's okay. But I'll say, it's still a good discipline for you to have some on your list to pray for. And if it's hard, then it's just, hey, it's hard, and just, get used to it and suck it up and do it, can I talk that way in church? That's right. They told me this is being recorded. So there you go. But, okay, so praying for people, God will place people on your heart. And you'll have relationship with people, whether they're family, whether they're people at work, and God will do that. And you'll find that as God works in your heart and you pray for people, that there'll be times that you'll meet somebody on a trip or you'll have an interaction with somebody at the grocery store. It doesn't always have to be going away to be effective in missions or whatever. We can have missions and touch people's life just down here at the market. And as we get used to praying for people and have our hearts for them, God will lay people on your hearts. Some of them saved, some of them unsaved. And it's amazing what God will do. And you'll just be able to see the person, relate with the person, and you just take it to God. And a lot of times, you don't even tell them you're praying for them. In fact, I don't encourage people to that a lot. Just pray for them and let God do it. Because it's all about him and his agenda. And because you don't have to tell a person that, I'm praying for you, and I stayed up all night long, and God moved, and some people, though, okay, so some pray by lists, some pray out of relationship, Some will pr are really great in a crisis when there's a big event coming on, like we're gonna, you know, there's a, somebody has been taken to the emergency room. There's people who will seriously, they'll pray and fast for like, you know, 24, 30 hours. They won't stop. You know, there's people who go to the hospitals and they'll be there. There's people that, when you have a need, they're praying for you. Or there's a crisis, like we're talking about our friends in Tel Aviv and what's going on in Israel right now. I'll tell you right now, there are some people who, because of the crisis, they've ramped up their prayer life in this event. Now, you can't live like this. You can't live like this. That's like the people who are the Green Berets and the Special Forces. And you can't do that 30, 365 days a year. You can't do it. You know, you get up and you really get into it and you're in a real intense period, then you need to, and if you sometimes feel that your prayer life has ups and downs, like you really get into it intensely, and then it's like, you know, sometimes you feel like, well, there's not much there. It's okay. You know, in the long run, you know, you're praying. And that's why I always say, I tell people, your spiritual disciplines, it's not just about prayer, but read your Bible, pray, write in a spiritual notebook. Share life with one another, you know, speak in tongues, you know, do all this kind of stuff and worship freely and not just on Sunday mornings. But this had to keep it going. But there's different, and you'll find different seasons are in your life. And it's okay. The whole idea is just keep the pump going, keep the flow of the spirit going. Different is okay. And so don't compare. Don't compare with other people, because if we compare, we either feel condemned or we get proud and we don't need either one of those in our lives. We usually do good enough with those things in our life as it is without even adding to it. Prayer is about relationship. Prayer is about communication with the Lord. It's communion. Read in John 15, tells us to abide in the vine as the, you know, as the branches abide in the vine, so can we. And it's a good picture because if you're connected, you're receiving life. Just as the sap flows and brings growth to the branches, so the Holy Spirit brings life and fruit into your lives. You know, you'll hear people talking about soaking. You'll hear people talking about just abiding, you know, having their mystical times with the Lord. That's all stuff is cool and it's something to do, but it's not the only thing we do. But it's a good thing. And you need to have a strong personal relationship with Jesus, because your prayer life flows out of that. Prayer is not just a one-way conversation. It's two-way. It's not just about us with our shopping list. Well, Lord, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. It's more about, well, what do you want me to do, Lord? How can I be available for you? You start asking those questions, and he'll start talking to you. Like I said, prayer is basically an extension of your relationship with Jesus. So if you have a free-flowing prayer life and it's easy and you love Jesus and all that, hey, fabulous. Now, if it's difficult and after about 5 minutes of prayer, it's tough and all that, well, there's probably some growth that you need. There's probably some help that you need. And that's the type of thing that, man, pray with somebody else. Ask your pastor for some help. You know, get with your spouse or one of your friends and say, hey, can we meet for coffee every Wednesday morning and let's just pray and just enjoy doing something like that. And you'll see a difference in your life, their life, and in the church if you start doing something like that. And even just something as simple as say, hey, let's just get together for 45 minutes. You drink coffee for 15 minutes and you pray for 20 minutes, talk for 10 on a regular basis. Try it. Just do it and you'll see. You don't have to be in a certain location to pray, a certain position, or a certain way, or a certain duration. There's some people who get so religious that the only way they can pray is on their knees, oh Lord, you know, or they can only pray at their secret place, or they, you know, and that's good to a point, but you can't always be on your knees and in your secret place when something comes up, you know? So we got to be ready, instant in season, out of season. I was taking that out of context a little bit, but take it for what it's worth. If we can do the work of an evangelist, we can also just keep it flowing. Be ready to pray. Now, even though you don't have to always go to the same location, it can be helpful. Because I'll tell you, if you can get into a good, solid routine, a good, solid spiritual discipline, it's going to enrich you as a person. You'll be a better spouse, parent, friend, church supporter, and all that as you do this. And you don't always have to do it in the morning. I mean, there's some special things about the morning. You know, in Psalm 63, it says, early will I seek thee. You know, your face will I see in the morning. However, David also said, hey, 7 times a day I pray, 3 times a day. He talked about the night watches. You know, God will wake you up sometimes. And there are some people who are devoted to a ministry of night watch. And we're talking about like 12 midnight to 6 a.m. In fact, one of the websites I gave you was the International House of Prayer. This is Mike Bickle and the ministry they have. And there are a group of people who are just fiery young intercessors who they devote themselves as intercessional missionaries. They gather support, just like they're going to go to a different country. They ask people to support them in their mission, and they go to Kansas City or one of these other places, and they'll pray, you know, 5 nights a week or more from 12 at midnight to 6 in the morning, and that's their ministry, and that's their worship, and they'll gain support for that, and they'll pray for people all around the world, and they'll tell you they don't have to go to the Middle East to pray for the Middle East. They don't have to go to Africa to pay for Africa, and they will tell you that at times they feel more effective, but yet, see, because God's not limited by distance, you know, and we can be just as effective and sometimes more effective praying here than if we were there. God delights in our prayers of faith and our obedience. A little bit of obedience goes a long way. A little bit of faith goes a long way. You know, when we hear and obey and when we lay aside our selfish ambitions, our wants, it helps our intercession. Philippians 2, 3 and 4, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind or humility of mind, let each of you esteem others better than yourself. Let each of you look not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. And they'll tell you, let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus. You know, following after Jesus. We talked a little bit about the pattern, the example that Jesus set for us. And be led of the Spirit. There's not a formula or a format that I can give you to follow. I mean, you can see I'm sort of going from A to Z, soup to nuts. We're talking about all sorts of different things. You'll find different things work for you better, but it's always good to try a lot of different things. Many of you have, whether it's a sewing kit or a toolbox or a fishing, you know, you'll have like the tools are easy to talk about. You can have a toolbox or a tool chest full of tools. And you have the tool you need to use, but some of them are your regulars. They're your bread and butter. They're the ones that you just really love. You know, the same way it'd be of sewing or some other activity you do. It's the same way with your Bible. There'll be different Bible verses, but there are certain things that you're going to find that God's going to give you in your prayer repertoire or your prayer weapons or however you want to call it. And that's okay. We need to know how to use all sorts of tools, weapons, do different things. But go ahead and get solid in the things that God wants you to be. And it's okay. You know, because we can't do everything. And that's why we need each other, because you'll find the things that you're solid in and are really good at, maybe your neighbor isn't. And that's how we form the wall. And that's how we form a strong church community, is each joint supplies for the building up of the body together in love. You know, that's what it's about. We're going to relate one with another, serve one another, work together one with another. One thing about praying is just keep your prayers short and sweet. You don't have to go on and on and on. God hears from the heart. You can speak from the heart. You know, there are times that, you know, God will move upon us in intercession and burden. And sometimes all you can do is just lay on your face and cry out in tongues and just earn and, you know, just groan. And that's, you know, God will move in that. But sometimes, just a short, sweet prayer, especially when you're in a prayer meeting, especially when you're in a gathering publicly and when we're praying, if you go on and on and on, people stop listening. We're not joined together. We're not, you know, let's just bam, just, you know, keep it short and sweet and bam, 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 bam. Just, you know, just go at it. And you'll see, you'll have some pretty powerful prayer meetings, some pretty powerful times together if you just don't worry about trying to, you know, take 20 minutes and say everything in King James English. And oh, it's just, but I'm all about praying for one another, sharing scripture, being prophetic. I base that on 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3. It talks about, you know, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. And it says that the definition of prophecy there is bringing edification, exhortation, and comfort. It doesn't talk anything about personal prophecy and going up and saying, for thus saith the Lord, you shall be, we're not all moving that way. We're not talking about the office of a prophet. We're talking about just letting blessing and encouragement and love and comfort flow. I'll tell you, that's what this world needs, folks. A lot more. That's what Jesus brings and wants to work in your life. Service-oriented, looking to Jesus. It's not about you. It's about letting the flow of life go forth. And you know what you're going to find out as you start practicing being more prophetic in your prayers, more spontaneous, more ready for God to work in you and through you, you're going to find that, wow, there's healing and there's encouragement, relationships improving. You'll start seeing things happen in the lives of those you pray for and in your community. It is exciting. It is exciting because God will not withhold his answers from prayer. He tells us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Okay, but there's a first part of that verse that says, you know, we need to confess our faults and sins one to another and all that, and we need to be open and growing in relationship one to another. And as we have that heart and attitude of service and openness and walking in daily repentance, boy, I'll tell you, there's power that can be released in our prayers. Well, probably going a little longer. Let me just share a couple last things. By the way, I want to share my heart. Prayer oftentimes is about hearing what God is saying to you. Okay? There's a lot of stuff on the news, and I said if you read these prayer websites and all that, there's always somebody has an agenda. That's why I'm saying let them only be a supplement. Let them only be a confirmation. You need to hear from God for yourself. God is speaking to each one of you. God is speaking to each one of us. And you need to hear and hear and obey, hear and do. I'll tell you, hearing is Christians that hear is a dime a dozen. I'm sorry. And I'm not sorry to say that. It's a dime a dozen. But Christians who will hear and obey. Christians who will hear and put into action. I get less patient with people who are not willing to go beyond good intentions. Those people who want to live in excuses and say, oh, I'm a victim. You know, some people, I swear, they're professional victims. they've always got this problem. Oh, but it's good. But I'll tell you, we've been struggling, brother. We've been struggling, sister. The Lord is good, though. But we, you know, it's like those kind of mentalities. We start focusing on ourselves and focusing on our circumstance. And I'll tell you, I will encourage you away from that type of thinking. I tell you, I find that as we pray and focus in faith and our God-focused and others-focused, that all of a sudden, a lot of your needs are taken care of. Or you start realizing, well, maybe I didn't need as much as I needed. Job, he got healed when what happened? Remember in the book of Job, when he finally got healed, what did he do just before he got healed? He prayed for his friends. Maybe we can be praying for others and allow God then to work in our life. Just trust him. Now that doesn't mean you don't say, hey, I need some help. Pray, prayer requests. Ask people to pray for you. If you've got sickness or hurt, it always says bring in your needs and, have the elders pray for you, lay hands, anoint with oil, all that kind of stuff. So don't be religious and saying, well, I never share my needs with anybody. It's a balance here is what I'm talking about. You see, I'm talking a little bit on both sides of the issue. We need to be real with one another, but we also need to encourage each other to a higher standard. We need to encourage each other to go along with God and not be satisfied with where we are right now in our lives. Because I don't think any of us really want the world to stay the way it is. There are people who have such a burden for souls that they want to see everyone be able to have an opportunity to go to heaven. There's a book that I read that the subtitle that talked about making it hard for the people in your area to go to hell. You know what I mean? But it was, I'm paraphrasing it, but it just, can we live lives and have lives of prayer and impact on our community that we make it hard for the people around us to not know about Jesus? You know, because when you get down to it, we I know this is about prayer. I'm sounding evangelical, but I'll tell you, I find is the more I pray, the more evangelical I become. Because where does my heart come from? It comes from the Father who sent his only begotten Son because he so loved the world. Okay, some final thoughts about prayer. I want to talk about a couple things, and then we'll end. Well, it's more than a couple things. Prayer walking. I'll tell you, this is one of my favorite things to do. This is one of my absolute things. Prayer walking is taking intercession out on the streets. It's sort of being covert. You don't go out and stand on the corner and say, "Oh, Lord, we pray that this idolatrous business be put out of business and that you cause repentance to come." You know, we don't do that. Now, you might in your spirit just say, "Oh, Lord, let the light of God come to this place." But more than not, it's going and bringing the blessing of God to your community and you know, interceding for people. You'll find that you will grow in your prayer life and your devotion life with Jesus as you just go out on the streets and go on a prayer adventure. What's God going to say to you today when you walk down by this set of businesses or you walk by these people's houses and you don't know them and you may never know what comes out of this. And you may say I'm wacky for doing this, but I love it. I mean, I've gone by and prayed for people's houses and cried and been a burden because it's like somebody is got a spirit of suicide on them. Or there's a depression in the house. I've gone by other places and you say, "Lord, bring the blessing of God here." Just and people, whether they're Christian or not, "Lord, bless this business and let them know your hand." And because I believe that the goodness of God can lead us to repentance. It's not always just confronting people. You know, as my father-in-law would always teach us, we gain a lot more, attract a lot more flies with honey than you do vinegar. I mean, how does God teach us? When we're in sin and when we have problems, he doesn't always just go hit us up against the side of the head and say, "Get your life together." He takes us and helps us and guides us and leads us. Now, there are times, you know, Hebrews 12 tells us pretty clearly that without discipline, we're not sons. But I think you'll find the majority of the time, God is dealing with you graciously. So why not let that heart be upon you and reach out graciously? And I've got another point that's going to address that in a minute. Spiritual warfare. I used to be a lot more of a Rambo in my younger life. I have a lot more wisdom now. You know, it's you don't fight the darkness, you lift the light. I've never experienced this, but I understand that when you go to Carlsbad's cavern, they'll turn off the lights and they'll like light a match in the very middle, and just for an instant, the whole cavern is illuminated. You can see people's face and you can see what's going on just from a little match in the black cavern. Just the power of light to dispel darkness. You know, he says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." Light has the power to dispel darkness, and light also attracts. So, boy, we've got it together. So, bring love and service and repentance and forgiveness. There are people I know that get gung-ho intercessors, and they try to go take the devil head on and try to get into and to break curses. And in Jesus' name we come. And I've done it with people, and there's been struggles and sometimes frustration. But when you come in a spirit of humility and pray for forgiveness, and what's really exciting is I've seen people go to different parts of town or different parts of the nation or different parts of different nations where there's been murders and assaults and there's been historical problems, and they come in with a spirit of repentance and try to bring reconciliation and let the love of God and the blessing of God flourish. We can bring healing and cleansing to the land and to the area. And then all of a sudden, you know, with the blessing of God and God's word, there's not a foothold for the devil. And so we're not, it's the Lord's business. We're not to fight the darkness, but we're to plant seeds of encouragement and let the light shine. And, you know, we'll find that God will take care of things. You know, here's one that I think is very, very appropriate for today, because it's a burden I have for the church. So I'm being very personal today. It's about hating the sin and loving the sinner. This is one I struggle with, because it's very hard to have standards. Because I'll tell you, man, abortion is wrong. It's murder. Homosexuality is wrong. Murder is wrong. Lying is wrong. But if we as a church get so pious and religious, we can actually, you know, have a doctrine of hatred against sinners. I mean, it's really, you know, there's so much judgment that is poured out through the church. And that's one of my burdens, is how can we find the right? How can we balance ourselves on the Word of God and what's right, but yet still make it so that someone who is a homosexual or some other sinner or person that cheats on their taxes or whatever is welcome to come here at church, because, you know, God wants to change their lives. Too many Christians today, you know, I say we practice, and I do it too. I've been to places where years ago, I remember going to meetings and pounding down and said to city council, how dare you do this? And how dare you make us do these things? You know, what a better way to do things through a prayer and encouragement and helping in the community. And then people start saying, well, what can we do to help the community get better? Well, how about if you tried this? You know, we can be in a whole different perspective. But 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 is very powerful here. It's talking about who gets to go to heaven. It says, do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or homosexuals, or sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a long list of things. It's not just one particular sin. That's a long list. And we know that people who practice these are not going to be saved. They're not going to the kingdom of heaven. And here is the thing that really helps me get a different perspective. It says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We have received grace and forgiveness and love and cleansing. Even the prophets of old who looked upon those who were in their disease and death and defilement, you know, the prophets, and he spoke and he said, live. That's what God did to us. He looked at us in our sin and our defiled state and our, even when we were enemies of God, and he said, live. In Romans 5:8, how does God demonstrate his love to us? He demonstrates his love to us that even while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Christ gave himself for us. And let's carry that heart as intercessors. Let's carry that heart, because I'll tell you, that's the heart that's going to change the world. That's the heart that's going to bring forth the manifold presence and power of God. Just think of the power of God that will be released in and through the church if we really start believing. And just in the simple fact that as we pray, and as we bring the name of Jesus, and as we bring the love of Jesus into a situation, that God's going to change it. I have a vision of people being activated and motivated as Christians to rise up and just start doing. Remember, I talked a little bit about, let's not just have good intentions, but even if it's a little bit, we got to start somewhere, folks. And it's better to do a little thing. So let's be more. Let's not be concerned and condemned about what we're not doing. But rather, let's do an honest appraisal. Oh, okay, I repent. And then just go on. Because it would be better to focus on the little that you are doing and grow in it than it is to be neutralized and be made ineffective because of condemnation and regret. But God wants us to be free. And he wants us to be able to share that freedom and liberty with others. Because, again, remember, prayer is about our personal relationship with Jesus and an outflow of it. And if we are receiving life and love from Jesus and we're being refreshed in him and his word, then we have a lot of life to pass on to others. It's pretty easy, pretty simple. Each joint supplying. Remember, as I said, just think, if we would see the church full of activated, mobilized, life-giving Christians, how we could turn this world upside down. You know, we wouldn't need to have all sorts of missions programs and evangelistic programs, and we wouldn't have to watch these people on TV or the people on the radio that spend half their time asking for money. Okay, I'm showing myself here. But we would be able to lift a different vision. And how could, I mean, you can't stop it. Remember, God has no plan B. It's the church. And if we will really let God be God and we'll believe in the simplicity and power of his love, what stopping is there of this agenda, this of the kingdom of God? It's going to expand because the kingdom of God is here. And it's just as easy as a person's eyes being opened up to see it. That's what happens with us. And I'll tell you, if you're like me, I've been saved a lot of times. You know, I say that tongue in cheek, but how many times, you know, it's like, you know, God shows you something new and says, man, I got to repent of that. I got to go on. It's like you get reborn again in God. And that's pretty exciting. Hey, you know, I used to get worried about that, but I say, hey, you know, if I need to, you know, go. In fact, I find seriously that you have to go through every once in a while. If you don't look back and realize that you're not going through some repentance and God's not, you're not being open to the dealing of God in your life, I'd say, you're missing something. God will help us. But we don't need all the programs if we have the life and love of Jesus flowing. So a bottom line here on prayer is it's a lot simpler and a lot more powerful than we realize. Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses, is now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or even what we can think, according to the power that works in us. Where was that power working? There's your key. Let the power flow in you. Tap in. Let God flow in you and let God flow through you, and let's see him make a difference in this world through our prayers. All right, God bless you. Thank you for letting me come and share with you today.